We'll get back to those calls here. 888-808-1019. Obviously, BT and Sal on this Monday, and it's getting real pretty soon. Obviously, the Yankees and the Mets, whatever push they can both muster up, we will find out, and we'll be here for every pitch and all the stuff. And then, obviously, the Jets and the Giants trying to at least get out to decent starts and give us something to latch on to. And, you know, if you listen to our show, you know that I've been fairly optimistic, without going nuts, but fairly optimistic that this football season for both teams is going to feel different, more exciting, more stable, more positive. And, you know, hopefully that comes to fruition first couple of weeks, so the tone is set. But we'll do a little football later. Nick Mangold is going to join me here. Sal is off, and we'll get back to these Yankee calls in a sec, as I said. So the Mets, right? So Sal was saying, I guess it was on Friday, and he's just confused. You know, he was in one of those. I'm confused. You know, one of the Sal rants. The fluctuation in the voice, the high pitch stuff. Sal was going, he was perplexed, and I don't blame him. And both of these teams have driven, I think, all of us to very dark places this year. And also, based on how they've kind of revived themselves at various points, we've been energized, depending upon, you know, what point of the season we're talking about. But specific to the Mets, right? Wasn't that long ago where they had lost seven straight games? So obviously, you can't forget about that. They lost two out of three at Citi against the Braves. They lost two out of three to the Nats. That was very alarming. That was like, wow, what are we doing here? And they were a step away from sweeping the Braves. And yesterday was a bad loss for a lot of reasons, some managerial, some based on performance, obviously. But, and I don't even really want to lump the Yanks into the Mets here, but I think that the Met fan right now should feel a little bit better than the Yankee fan does. I just do. Number one, McClain has given you now maybe he's their Schlittler, all right? But McClain, while Schlittler's been really good, and I think his ceiling is through the roof, I mean, McClain, two starts, he's the real deal. Now, you know, league's going to figure him out a little bit here, but when I look at a young pitcher, I look at the stuff, I look at the composure, I look at the, you know, Sal and I will say, we haven't said it in a while, the sackometer. I mean, McClain's got some sack. He is ready. So Friday night, you get McClain in your usual house of horror. Saturday, you get some length from Clay Holmes, which you never get. So that's good. But to me, I think the reason why the Met fan, I'll get to these first two games against the Phillies in a moment, but the reason why you have to be feeling good, or at least maybe not good, that's a little better about the Mets than you did a couple of weeks back, or even, you know, a week or so ago, is that the Anthos is now officially wide awake, and Brett Beatty is right behind him. So Vientos, last 30 days, not last 5 days, not last 10, last 30 days, 6 homers, 18 ribbies, 925 OPS, batting 300. That's 30 days, just about 300. I think it's 301. Beatty, last 50 at-bats. It's a decent little chunk, sitting 333 with an OPS over 1,000. And I think what you've seen from Beatty now, unlike Vientos at third base, Beatty has dispelled any notion whether or not he can handle leather over there. He can play third. He's an athlete. Likes to show off his arm. And he made a play over the weekend where he's basically in the visitor in the dugout. And he has shown some nice range and some nice defensive versatility. The game's slowing down for Brett Beatty, which is, I always thought he was going to be good. But, you know, you could say that, and then you get a chance and you don't see any production. You know, eventually, you got to kind of stop saying it. So I did. But this is what I thought Brett Beatty would be. I didn't know about the defense. I'm talking about from a hitting perspective, right? Because we knew the scout report. Can he really handle third? But he can, and he can also handle second. So between McClain, the back of the bullpen, obviously, I don't care what he's hitting with runners in scoring position so far this year. There's nobody on the planet that is going to convince me that Soto's not going to wake up. He just is. He is. And we've seen some signs, although Nimmo's injury is obviously not the best thing. We've seen some signs recently, small sample, that the Mets' big four, kind of, you know, minus Nimmo, they're, you know, they're showing signs of gelling simultaneously, at least in small spurts. And now with Sprout, I know it didn't go well from out of the pen, but you could tell another plan is in place. And the one thing that I didn't love, you know, Sal wanted to see one of these younger pitchers after McClain got the call. He wanted to see somebody else, and so did I. I'm just not a big believer in taking a young kid, thrusting him into a pennant race, and asking him to do a different job. You know, if you're going to call up a shortstop, have him play shortstop. Don't put him in left field. You know, if you're going to call up a starter, generally, I want to keep him as a starter, not transition him to relief. But the fact that the Mets did that already with Sproat tells me their plan's in the right spot, and he does have good stuff, and I do think he'll be able to contribute. But here we are. You know, we are at, well, I think the Met fan, even with yesterday, should feel pretty good. The next two games, now I'm not going to say the next two games are the season, but what you get from the next two guys in the next 2 days will very much determine the Mets season. Senga, step up. Manaea, step up. That's it. There's nothing else to debate. We could talk about Vientos and Beatty and McClain and Holmes and even Soto, but you know, Soto the pitcher before yesterday's been pretty good, and all the other things that we talk about on a daily basis with the Mets this season. If the top two guys, even though Peterson's really their best pitcher, but if the two guys, and has been this year, the two guys, if they can't do their job, well, then everything that I just said about Vientos and Beatty kind of doesn't matter. And even if you just, I'm going to meet you halfway. Even if you just get one of them to really stabilize their season, I think from my perspective, I think the Mets have a little more life than I thought they had, you know, going back to that 7-game losing streak, losing 2 or 3 to the Nats. But Senga or Manaea must wake up. All right, 1109, BT and Sound on the Fan, 888-808-1019. So there you go, Yanks and the Mets right now. Let's get back to you, Staten Island, George on the Fan, BT and Sound. What's up, George?
Hey, good morning, BT. How you doing? Long-time listener to the show, first-time caller.
Nice.
I'm going back to what you said. So far, all the calls have been awesome. Going back to what you said in the beginning of the intro, like, I've been a Yankee fan my whole life, and even no matter how bad or how good the Yankees were, when they played the Red Sox, you know, there was that feeling of, like, we want to beat these guys. And we want to, like you said, we want to let them know we're there. We're going to be there for the 3-game series, the 4-game series, in your face, every pitch. And it's like, I'm watching the Red Sox. They're doing the simple things, putting the bat on a ball. Like, and like, there's no, like, Yankee pitchers. Bregman's getting up there in a lounge chair, sipping margaritas, knowing they're not going to, I'm not saying hit the guy. Brush the guy back. Let him know, hey, you're not going to lean over the plate and go to right field. There's none of that. I went to the game Thursday night, and it was just the same old script. Let's just wait for the big home run to happen, and it doesn't happen, and we lose, and Roman Anthony has to put one. I think that's still flying in orbit somewhere. It's just, It's ridiculous. It's like, how much more are we supposed to take as Yankee fans? Like, I hear you mispronouncing the Yankee players wrong before. It was actually funny because this is what they've done to us.
Drive me nuts,
this
George. Is what they've done to us. Yeah, my brain is mush watching these guys. It really is. I mean, what are we supposed to do? I mean, you've got to determine that for yourself. And good call. Love the passion. Yankee fans been on point. Yankee fans know the deal. There's no sugarcoating this mess. This team is soft. All right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch the remaining 32 games. I'm going to hope for the best, but I'm not going to expect it because the evidence has been overwhelming to the contrary. Not that you're not going to see a little flicker here. You're going to. You know, playing some bad teams coming up. We know about the back end with the Orioles and the White Sox, and now the White Sox here and the Nats now. It's going to be an easy week for the Yankees. We all know that. We're not dumb. We've seen this a million times. I think the only way you're dumb, in the baseball sense, of course, not completely taking a shot at your intelligence, but like in the baseball sense, the only way you'd be dumb is if you think that this is going to change. Like, I mean, really change. And get fooled by the allure of the home run against pitching staffs that are AAA or slightly below average major league, or in some cases, way below major league average. That's what's going to happen this week. Pay the old stats, bag a couple wins. It's going to mean nothing. It's really not. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on the Fan, brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Hey, listen, guys, this is not, you know, just back to the Yankee Red Sox, just focus on that dynamic for a moment. This is not, as even before I was really watching, like Fisk, Pinella, or Nettles and Lee, or much more recently, like Zimmer and, you know, Pedro, or Pedro and Kareem Garcia, or Pedro. I mean, Pedro's involved in all this. Pedro Posada. You know, this is not O'Neill throwing a bat and charging Seattle pitchers. And I'm not even, like, those days are over. Or, like, Strawberry and Tino, Armando Benitez. It's over. These guys aren't wired that way. They don't make them like that anymore. Because society doesn't let you back. You're not allowed to be that way anymore. People always wonder, like, man, why do these players not seem to care as much anymore? Because you as society basically don't let them. Now, I'm not pinning this on society for the Yankees' inability to run the bases or catch the baseball or, you know, do something with wrists. You know, no, I'm not saying that. But that's why I don't expect it, even though I said it in the open. Like, you know, where's the outward resistance? A hard slide at second. You can't really do it at the plate. You know, there's no contact at the plate. But a hard slide on the bases or a little chin music or just a little subtle messaging like, yo, you know, we're tired of you kicking our face in. Where is it? When you strip that away from society, football gets softer, everything gets softer. You expect 20-something-year-old athletes who are now of a certain societal norm, you expect them to just start acting like Daryl Strawberry? Or Graham Lloyd coming in from the dugout, from the bullpen? Again, they're not wired that way. And that's fine. So, like, you know, it's fun to say, oh, you know, I wish you would do this or remember when that happened. Yeah, great, fantastic. We all remember when it happened, but it's just, it's not reality to think that it's going to happen again. But even with the shift and even with the different mindset in young players, let me ask you a question. Don't the Red Sox look a little different than the Yankees? Just their grit? You know the answer, they do. Let me get John down in, where is that? Orlando on the Free Odyssey app. What's happening, John?
Hey, BT. Hey, before I get to my point, I actually just want to touch on what you just said. You know, I think also what you see is there's just such a fraternization of this league as, you know, the business and dynamics has changed. And that's just created, as you said, this soft environment where you don't have players who stand out and take accountability and light a fire under, you know, the team like you used to. Now, with that said, earlier you mentioned Judge about taking accountability here and, you know, coming down on him. The one thing that Judge lacks that Jeter had in the past and which made Jeter so effective is he had Posada to be that enforcer. You know, Posada would hold these players accountable. And that's why, you know, quite frankly, nothing's going to change here until Boone's out. And I'd love to see Georgie, you know, take the reins for this team. At least he's someone who has an idea of what Yankee baseball should be. He's going to hold the players accountable and bring some of that old school approach. Because you look around the league, there is no players who are like that anymore. But you know what? There's those good managers that make the difference.
Well, but John, here's the thing, John. If the Yankees, if their upper brass, the hierarchy, doesn't want that, then even if Jorge Posada came in kicking and screaming, I don't think the organization would really rubber stamp and have his back.
Well, you know what? That's
they don't
it,
want
because,
that.
You know, they don't, exactly. Because all they care about is if they turn a dollar right now. And as long as we keep going to the games, they keep making all this money, they're printing off money, what do they care if they win? When's the last time you saw Hal Steinbrenner sitting in a box? When's the last time you saw Randy Levine, you know, even show up?
Yeah.
Hal's too busy to come.
Yeah,
out.
Hal's never there.
He doesn't care. He's never there.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm not comfortable. Thanks for the call. Not because I'm afraid to say it. I think it's unfair, and I'm a little uncomfortable saying Hal doesn't care. I do believe he cares. I just wish he cared more. You know? I've said many times, of course the Yankees want to win. Yes, the Yankees want to win. And I'm not even talking about the players or Boone. I'm talking about above that right now. Yes, they want to win. Don't disrespect them by saying or implying they don't want to win, that it's just about the buck. I think that's patently offensive to them. And I've ripped them for years, all right? But I think that's taking it too far. What I will say is, you know, they're not motivated to win. They won't go to the lengths to win like they used to. Like, winning used to be oxygen. Without winning, they would die. Or they would do whatever it took to get that oxygen back. Talk about Judge and leadership. This was what I referenced earlier in the show. Go ahead, Dolph.
Definitely angry, especially against your rivals.
You know, stop for 1 second. We're going to play the thing. Stop. You don't sound angry, dude. Does he sound angry? Like, that's, if you told me that they won 7-2 against the Royals, like, yeah, that's kind of the way it sounds. Now, I also think that part of the greatness of Judge as a player is having the ability to process failure and success and understand, like, it's you know, you're not hitting 512. It's not high school, man. You know, it's just not. Gets harder and harder and harder and harder as you move up the ranks. So that, I think that that slower heartbeat and that perspective has enabled him to be great all time. But I want you to play it again from the beginning. 1 sec, Dolph. This is not what I want to hear from the Yankee captain after the Red Sox just embarrassed you again.
Definitely angry, especially against your rivals. You know, like, don't like the showing we've had here at home. So just got to step up. That's it. Got to step up. Everybody in this room's got to play a little bit better, pick it up a notch, and go out there and take care of business tomorrow. We can't, nothing we can do about the past 100 or something games we played. You know, we got to focus on what we can do now, and that's all you can do.
All right. You know, again, he's not an actor. He's not a professional speaker, public speaker. So I'm not going to sit here and judge, although I am to an extent, just for this point. You know, often I don't like to do this. They're athletes. You know, they're not, they don't get paid to speak, they get paid to play. So his messaging maybe not matching the, like, the urgency that we all want. I'm going to try to keep a little perspective here. But what he said at the end, like, you know, what's in the past is in the past. Yeah, that's true. You can't change the past, right? You could address the past and make sure the future, at least in the present, is a little bit different. Take those proper steps to change that in any aspect of life. But that's where I think, that's one of my biggest issues with the Yankees. I've heard that a lot. We can't change the past. Well, if you would have addressed it more effectively, you know, whenever, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a month ago, well, then I don't think that Aaron Judge would have to say what he just said about we can't change the past. The reason you can't change the past is because you guys aren't doing a good enough job trying to change the past. Make sense? I think it does. I think it does. All right. Don't have a read here, so I do not believe that I do. No. We got Nick Mangold next hour. We've got your calls coming up. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Threw the Mets stuff on there for you, obviously. There's a lot of Yankee rage. I get it. I feel it. Well, you know, like the Yankee rage, yes, it is applicable to this situation, but what's starting to creep in, and this to me is amazing. It's not apathy, and we're not there yet, but it's almost like an understanding on such a deep level that there's almost an acceptance that eventually could lead to apathy. And we're talking about the Yankees, and that is just, that's unacceptable.